ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। क्लेशाग्नि शुभधा मोक्ष लघुता कृत सुदुर्लभा सन्द्रानन्द विशेषात्म श्रीकृष्णाकर्षणे च स क्लेशस्तु पापं तद्बीजम् अविद्या चतिते त्रिधा। प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस ब्रिंग्स इमीडिएट रिलीफ फ्रॉम ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ मटेरियल डिस्ट्रेस। इट इज द बिगिनिंग ऑफ ऑल ऑस्पिशियसनेस। इट मिनिमाइजेस द वैल्यू ऑफ लिबरेशन। इट इज रेयरली अचीव्ड। इट ऑटोमेटिकली पुट्स one in transcendental pleasure, and it is the only means to attract Krishna. There are three factors, namely suffering, sinful activities and ignorance. We'll read some purport of Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that one should surrender unto Him, giving up all other engagements. The Lord also gives His word there that He will protect surrendered souls from the reactions of all sinful activities. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the distresses from sinful activities are due to both to the sins themselves and to sins committed in our past lives. Generally, one commits sinful activities due to ignorance, but ignorance is no excuse for evading the reaction. Sinful activities are of the two kinds, those which are mature and those which are not mature. The sinful activities for which we are suffering at the present moment are called mature. The many sinful activities stored within us for which we have not yet suffered are considered immature. For example, a man may have committed criminal acts but not yet have been arrested for them. Now as soon as he is detected, arrest is awaiting him. Similarly, for some of our sinful activities, we are awaiting distresses in the future. And for others which are mature, we are suffering at the present moment. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितम् तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावदूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So, last week we discussed about the definition of pure devotional service. And immediately after that, Rupa Goswami, he speaks about the lakshanas. Lakshana means manifestation of something what you have done. Means one who is decorated with ornaments. That is the lakshana of his being rich. One who is highly qualified, that is the lakshana, that is the character of he being highly educated. So similarly, when we perform devotional service, because we are discussing the science of bhakti, so everything, there is a performance of our devotional activities and immediately there is a reaction. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, next step he speaks about, when we do practice devotional service, immediately there is a reaction. And these characters are Kleshagni. Kleshagni means all of our distress are eradicated. That is the first lakshana. Just like one who is educated, he has a qualification, is a high post. Similarly, the first qualification is that all our distress are eradicated. There is no more mental, emotional and physical distress. That is the first sign of character of devotional service. And as our distress decreases, when we experience no more misery, the next step is, the next lakshan is, just like if you are qualified, if you have a high job, then you also have a money. Similarly, the next step is that immediately you experience all kinds of happiness, shubadha, auspiciousness, mangal. And the next step Rupa Goswami speaks is about whatever liberation you aspire for. Somebody aspires liberation from miseries. Somebody aspires liberation from this world. Somebody aspires to become one with God. Somebody aspires liberation in the form of going back to the spiritual world. All this liberation become laghu. They become insignificant. Moksha laghutakrit. That is the third manifestation of bhakti. That is the natural results. And the fourth one is bhava, sudhurlabha. That when we develop that devotion to the Lord, which is very rare, that affection for the Lord, which is very, very rare, is manifested within our heart. We'll discuss this further in our future classes. And the fifth character of devotional service is that Sandrananda Visheshatma, he experiences a different kind of bliss, which is never experienced in this world. And the last one is, he attracts Krishna. So as we discussed last class, the first two, the Kleshagni and Shubhada, all the distress are eradicated, and we experience auspiciousness. Rupa Goswami explains that begins even at this stage of sadhana bhakti. We saw that there are three kinds of devotional activities. Sadhana bhakti, Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. So what we are doing now as a practitioners, all of us we are practitioners. And being practitioners of devotional service, we have to experience these two things, Klesha Agni. All the kleshas are distressed, all the kleshas are eradicated, and we experience Shubha, auspiciousness. So we will take the first principle of Klesha. Now Rupa Goswami, because as we discussed, he has scrutinizingly studied all the scripture. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sad Dharma Samsthapako. That he has compiled, he has taken from all different scriptures. Because in the material world, when we superficially understand religion or the scripture, we have the confusion of what is Klesha and how Klesha is eradicated. What is misery and how I can overcome misery. There is always a confusion. In fact, suffering is taken as happiness in this world. And happiness is taken as distress in this world. So in the foundational only, there is a misunderstanding. One who does not know what is happiness and what is distress, then how can he discuss further? So Rupa Goswami, in the first part before discussing how all our miseries are eradicated, he discusses what is misery. How does it come about? How do we suffer? What are its reactions? Where does it lead to? What kind of different bodies we achieve? First he explains all of this. And then he gives a simple example how to eradicate it. So Rupa Goswami explains, distress has three causes. If you ask somebody, outsider, what is the cause of distress? Usually people, mostly people blame God. You know, he is being partial. We discussed this, Srila Prabhupada, his professor. He would not understand what is the theology that you have to suffer for what you have done in your previous life. First of all, why do you suffer? There was one philosopher in the Christian concept when they would present, God has created this world for our pleasure. He would take that statement and contradict. He said, even an ordinary watchmaker when he makes a watch, what does he do? He gives that watch so that we can enjoy it. If God has provided all the facilities so that we can enjoy, why we are not enjoying, rather we are suffering. And in fact, enjoyment is not equally distributed. And God is very frugal. So in this way, mostly people blame for their own distress. Or else in India, we see that people may say, very superficially, "O to apna sab karma hai." But what it is, they cannot explain. So Rupa Goswami begins with the causes of our suffering. So the first cause is, the sinful activity itself. The activities which we perform, the sinful activities which we perform. Now again, what is sin, what is not sin, another subject matter. But the first cause is when we perform the sinful activities, immediately there is a distress. How it happens, we will discuss further. Next. Material desires. When there is a desire, that also causes suffering. Very clear. When you have a material desire, and it is natural that you cannot fulfill it most of the time. And because you cannot fulfill those desires, immediately that causes distress. Desire leads to distress. And the third reason Rupa Goswami explains is ignorance. Because of our ignorance, we suffer. And elsewhere, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, adding one or two principles of these three, papam, bijam and avidya, he says there are five causes of distress. One, he says, nescience, that is ignorance. Second, is false ego. In fact, however many times our false ego is disturbed, that false ego doesn't turn into a sweet taste. It is always bitter. Whenever our ego is crushed, what does it do? It causes a lot of pain. And third, material attachment, asakti, is also cause of distress. Envy, irsha, dvesh is also. In fact, envy is indirect appreciation of the Lord. You cannot directly appreciate, but it causes, you know, direct manifestation in your heart. You see that, it becomes very prominent. Somebody is progressing, it hurts you. That is envy. And because of that envy, there is a distress. And the fifth principle, Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, mundane engrossment. When we are engrossed, completely engrossed in certain activities, suddenly that leads to distress. So Rupa Goswami explains these are the three main important reasons why we suffer in this material world. Next. And this is the cycle. Everything begins with the ignorance. Lord Krishna explains in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when the knowledge is covered, jnanam avrutam ajnanam tena muhyanti jantava. When the knowledge is covered, what happens? The living entity is completely bewildered. Krishna bhuliyajiv bhogavancha kare nikatastha maya japati adare. When the living entity forgets Krishna, immediately maya captures him. And because maya captures him, he is completely bewildered. And because of that bewilderment, he forgets his relationship with the Lord. That is the ignorance. Ignorance leads to material desires. Material desire means what? Prabhupada writes, material desire means separate interest from Krishna. Contrary to separate interest, we discussed in the discussion of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means Krishna's interest and the interest of the Lord is one and the same. There is no difference. But here material desire causes because of ignorance. And then a separate interest is developed other than the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then because the material desire is there, next step is that to fulfill that material desire, one performs activity that is called as papam. One is forced to perform that act. It is explained that in one place in the Europe, when pickpocketing became too much, they would catch the pickpocketers and publicly they would be stoned, not to death, but brutally injured. And many people would gather to see that, you know, let us see how they are being persecuted. And taking that as an opportunity, the expert pickpocketers will make their profession grow much larger. So the point is, even though somebody sees that, but what will happen because the desire is strong and the ignorance is there, he is forced to perform the act, a sinful activity. He cannot avoid it. So this is the cycle. How we perform our sinful activities. And Rupa Goswami explains, sinful activities have two reactions. One is aprarabdha and second is prarabdha. Aprarabdha means which is not manifested. And prarabdha means which is manifested. Prabhupada calls this mature and immature. Mature means which we are already experiencing and immature means which you are not experiencing. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a person who engages in illicit activity. Immediately there is a reaction in the form of he suffers because of that activity. That is called as immediate reaction. That is called as which we are seeing, manifested reaction, prarabdha karma. And aprarabdha karma means, because of that sinful activity, the proclivity to perform sin increases. That becomes a lasting impression. And that lasting impression forces him to desire more and more sinful activities. Just like when a first time one who steals the shoe, we have experienced so many people in our temple, young boys, elderly people, and when you ask them only first time before being caught, they experience fear. Once they are caught, then they become immune, they become very professional, you can beat them. And we had one very strong devotee, Kshatriya, and he caught about 14-year-old boy. He had stolen so many shoes, but he was not willing to accept. And he was being thrown from top many times down, but he was not feeling any pain. We could not see that. We left that place, but this devotee, being a Kshatriya, was forcing him down, but he was not willing to reveal how many times he has stolen shoes. Only when he started shaving his head, then revealed everything. He said, "Don't shave my head." Because that was too much for him. He was able to tolerate the pain of being beaten, but he didn't want to shave his head. So the point is that unmanifest reaction and manifest reaction come upon when we perform one activity. It's a vicious cycle. How it leads, where it goes, Rupa Goswami explains in great detail. Next. And then Srila Prabhupada explains, there are four kinds of effect of sinful activities. One is effect which is not fructified, that is immature aprarabdha. Effect which is lying as a seed, bija, which is material desire again. One sin leads to another desire to perform that same sinful activity, that is material desire. Effect which is almost mature. Sorry, the first one is, it is called as kutam. Before it turns into a bija, before it turns into a material desire. Material desire manifests when we contact with the objects of the senses. When I see something beautiful, immediately the desire develops, I should acquire it. It is not that the desire is developed because I have seen the object. The desire is there in the stock form as kutam, Prabhupada explains. That it is already lying. Sometimes we see that two people see the same object. One develops the desire and one does not develop the desire. Why is that so? Because one person has it in the stock and one person does not have it. So therefore the first one is kutam, second one is bijam, and third one is unmanifest. It is going to manifest. Prabhupada gives the example, a robber is stealing. And because he is stealing, he is collecting all of his reactionary karma. When it is detected that this guy is the rogue, he is the robber, what happens? He is awaited that he will be caught any time. So that is almost mature, is going to be caught. Sometime we see in the temple also, there are some devotees who are always inspecting who is coming, who is not coming, what somebody is doing. So they keep watch, they keep an eye on certain people and they follow them, what are they doing. They already know now, this person is stealing the shoes. We never catch them immediately. Sometime it happens, but most of the time, you know, devotees keep an eye. Suspected criminals. Now you know that who is coming to the temple, this person is very much suspected. Then he goes inside the guest room where all the congregation devotees come. Now it is confirmed. Already devotees have seen him. That means what? Almost mature. When he comes next Sunday, he will be caught. So that means everything has been seen, but only it is awaited of capturing him. That is called unmanifested or aprarabdha karma. But when he is caught and when he is beaten, then that is manifested karma. He is already experiencing the reaction for what he had done many weeks back. So these are the four stages of sinful activities. And Srila Prabhupada explains, how do we know that one is suffering because of one's previous karma? Srila Rupa Goswami explains, Durjatireva Shavanam Ayogyatve. That Durjati means Sujati and Durjati. Jati means birth. Janma Jayate. Jati means birth or being born in certain kind of family. Durjati means born in a low family. That is considered as manifestation of a sinful activities which he had performed in his previous life. And then Rupa Goswami says, because of his sinful activities, he is not entitled to take part in any kinds of ritualistic activities. We see in India, the caste system is prevalent, which is distorted now. In that caste system, there is a wrong understanding. Okay, you are born in a low class, you are not allowed to come to the temple. You cannot read the scriptures. You cannot read the Vedas. So, Rupa Goswami says, yes, one cannot take part in any Vedic sacrifice. And Prabhupada writes according to the modern context. What is this? How do we know that one is suffering? First thing is that chronic disease. Again, Rupa Goswami does not keep us in ignorance. If you go to sometime in the hospitals, in the civil hospitals, there are big, big boards. What do they say? They say that this leprosy is not because of your sins. It is curable. Okay, that is, they are putting them in ignorance. Why do they do that? Because in the previous time, the smartha brahmanas would tell them, this is because of your previous sinful activities. And the present people, they say, no, it is not because of your previous sinful activities. Both are wrong. Why? Because Rupa Goswami is not presenting this so that to make us feel very bad. And when the scientists present that this is not sin, what do? Srila Rupa Goswami explains, Prabhupada explains, that when he is cured of his disease, because the material desire is not eradicated, he is not given the principle of how to take it out from the root. Once he is cured, he will go back to the same place. We read sometime big, big billboards. Some Christian pastor, they come. You know, he has the healing power. And huge mass goes to his program. And you find some, you know, lame man has been taken by a few people to the stage. And he chants some mantras, he is healed. You know, that means he's freed from the sinful reaction, chronic disease. But where does he go? He runs to the liquor shop. Before he would limp to the liquor shop, now he's running to the liquor shop. Even though the manifestation is cured, but the desire is still there, so he'll go back again to perform the same sinful activities. So Rupa Goswami, he makes it very clear, yes, this is because of your previous life. Smarthas would only tell this much. This is because of your previous life. But what to do about that, they would not say. So therefore the reaction, the modern scientists say, no, this is not because of your sinful activities. But what do you do with that? You make them sin more. You don't find leper living a pure life. Even if the leper, some other is holding a bidi. He can't hold his bidi, so with his hands like this, he's smoking bidi. And he's told that this is not because of your previous sinful activities. One time when we were in Nasik, I tell this story every time. And one leper came, rolling on his small trolley. And we had our bus parked in the main street.
Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, Prabhupada and Gaur Nitai were there. And one devotee gave him Mahaprasad, cooked in pure ghee. And this man, you know, took that. He took in his hand and he threw it on the ground and rolled over that Mahaprasad. He had the chance to be liberated from his sinful activities, but because of, you know, this wrong understanding given in different places, you know, this is not because of your sinful activity. Yes, it is because of your sinful activities, but at the same time, there is also a facility how to overcome that. And that's what Urupa Goswami wants to say. But before saying that, he also speaks why we are suffering in this world. Legal implications. It doesn't just happen, legal implication. Lawyers, courts, judges and legal implications are prominent in Kali Yuga. That shows that we are suffering because of our previous sinful activities. In fact, Prabhupada says, simply because you have this material body, it shows that you are suffering for your previous activities. Nobody should think that I am so pure. As long as you have this material body, that means you are a sinful person. And more sinful if you have legal implication, chronic disease, and the third is born in a low family. It is not being pinpointed, you know, sometime it is said, you know, you should not speak all these things. We should know, but at the same time, we also know how to eradicate this. Therefore, Rupa Goswami speaks. And the fourth one is uneducated and ugly. Not being educated and not having a proper Rupa is considered as born in a low family. One time Srila Prabhupada told one devotee that the greatest pious person in this world is Queen Elizabeth. Devotees are shocked. Prabhupada, but she eats cow's meat. Prabhupada said, that doesn't matter. She has beauty, she has fame, she has power. All this thing you only get if you have the pious activities. With that piety, what she is doing now, that is a different thing. That is a different thing. He said, what to speak of her? Even Nawab Hussain Shah, one was destroying so many temples, he said, even he was a pious person. He said, without being pious person, you cannot attain that post. Even if somebody becomes so cruel, so sinful, you cannot attain that place. There has to be some piety of previous life. And then you can misuse that piety and receive a reaction in some other lifetime. That is a different subject matter. But those who don't have this, Rupa Goswami says, that is because of one's previous activities. And immediately Rupa Goswami, after speaking this, he says, but all these prarabdha reactions can be immediately vanquished. There is always a controversy, even amongst the devotees. What is that controversy? That we cannot eradicate our prarabdha karma. What to speak of we eradicating our prarabdha karma? Sometimes some smartha say even Lord Ramachandra had to suffer. Just see. Their understanding is that prarabdha karma is so powerful that you cannot eradicate. Again, Rupa Goswami has searched all the scriptures and he makes it very clear. Prarabdha haratvam means all manifested reaction can be eradicated by the process of devotional service. People go to Bhrigu, you know, they go to astrologer, they go to Vastu. What is my, you know, how to overcome this? How to overcome that? But Rupa Goswami gives the simple process. What is that process? The process of practicing devotional service. He says prarabdha karma can be eradicated simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Yan namadeya shravananu kirtanad yat smaranad yat pravaranad api kvachit shaddopi shadda shavanaya kalpate kuta punaste bhagavanu darshanad. This is from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavat. Mother Devahuti, she is glorifying the process of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada brilliantly writes in the Bhagavatam, about the power of devotional service. We may not experience it immediately because we lack faith. But because we are already practicing the process of devotional service, we eradicate all the sinful reactions. Every time, if you go and read Prabhupada's books, his conversation, nowhere Srila Prabhupada writes that no, prarabdha karma one has to suffer. He says no, all prarabdha karma can be eradicated by the process of devotional service. And how it happens, Prabhupada writes, first is that all prarabdha karma is totally eradicated. If not, there are three stages how it eradicated. Second stage, Prabhupada says, just like a judge sees a criminal and he decides, because of your criminal activity, I am going to fine you. And the judge also knows what is the wealth of the criminal. He has got $1 million, but he says, I will only charge you $1. What the judge did? He has done a big crime and he has the wealth to pay off, but he said, okay, but I will minimize. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains devotional service when it is practiced, we have the karma stored, just like a rich man had $1 million. Similarly, we have the karma which we have to suffer for hundreds of years. That is our ability, or that is our, stored karma to suffer. But when we practice devotional service, Krishna takes directly under his supervision. And then what does he do? He gives that reaction which we are supposed to suffer for 1,000 years or many millions of years, he minimizes it, just like giving $1 to the judge. That is the second phase of destroying all manifest reaction. And third, Rupa Goswami explains, Srila Prabhupada explains, even if a devotee suffers, he does not suffer. How is it? Materially it may appear that he is suffering. One can see that, everything is taken away from him. He has got many diseases. But where do we experience suffering? Suffering is not experienced on the physical level. Suffering is experienced on the emotional, mental, on the emotional and the mental level. For some person, even a very insignificant thing, we'll give two examples. For extreme suffering, but no problem. And very insignificant suffering, but mentally tortured. One is Vasudeva Vipra in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was tormented. All of his body was covered with leprosy. In fact, the insect would fall from his body. Bodily he was suffering so much, it was horrible. But on the mental level, he was completely composed. He was chanting the holy name of the Lord. Another example is that when first time two devotees came as a seekers in India, one was an English professor and one was doing his PhD. They came to Haridwar. They came to Rishikesh, in Haridwar, and they saw many beggars were sitting in line to beg money. And one devotee approached one beggar. He had leaned his body, his back was lean, and his body was covered with leprosy. But he was murmuring something. He went close to him, he put his ears and heard him. He was constantly chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. And the devotee was shocked, even though he was suffering so much, but there is no suffering. And then second example, which is contrary to this, we had gone to Jaipur for, seeing some temples. And on the way back, all the trains were closed, the trains were not working. So some devotee with whom we went, he said, okay, let us come back by flight. So on the airport, when we are supposed to collect your baggage, next to us, there was one lady. And she had a big bag and she was decorated very gorgeously. And then, she had her long nail, which is considered as, we don't know, it's called as beauty. We don't see Radharani or Gopis having a long nail. So she had a long nail. And unfortunately the staff, the worker, you know, her bag got opened. And he wanted to help her. So when he closed the bag, you know, that bag acted as a nail cutter. Her nail got cut. She didn't experience any pain. Only the nail got cut. But she became like a jhopadpatti woman. She was giving all kinds of bad words to that man. You know, he was helping her. One small nail was cut, but she experienced great suffering. So where is the suffering? Here that leper who was sitting on the bank of Rishikesh in the Ganga, he was constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. What to speak of nail being cut? His whole body was covered with pus. There was so much of pain, but he did not experience the pain. So Prabhupada gives the third example. Even if there is a suffering, there is no suffering. Because of practice of devotional service, a devotee does not experience any suffering. So Krishna can put his devotee in three situations. He may eradicate all manifest reactions, or he may nullify it, make it very insignificant, or else he'll give the ability to tolerate even though there is a suffering. He said, all this is the sign of all manifest sinful reactions are eradicated. Otherwise, even if there is very insignificant suffering, we find in the local train, no suffering. You know, if you just step on somebody else's shoes, how much they feel distressed. But by practicing devotional service, Rupa Goswami explained that you can easily overcome all kinds of manifested reaction. Not only you can overcome, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eradicated even the manifested karma of Vasudeva Vipra. He gave him a beautiful body. That can also happen. And sometime it can be minimized, very, very little. And third is that you get the ability how to tolerate even the greatest kind of suffering. And Rupa Goswami explains, not only he becomes freed from all manifested reaction, because he has taken to the process of devotional service, what happens? He was not qualified to perform yajna, instantly becomes qualified to perform all kinds of yajnas. He becomes eligible to worship the deities. Again, there are certain controversies amongst the smarthas. They worship Vishnu. They say it is just like, it's the principle of eligibility and ability. When you practice devotional service, you become able. But still you have to become eligible. And eligibility means you have to go through that samskara. And they give the example of a Brahmana boy. A Brahmana boy is born in the family of the Brahmanas. And the Brahmana father is performing all the rituals. He lights the fire, he performs yajna, he chants the mantras, he worships Shaligram. But they say, even though the Brahmana boy is born in a Brahmana family, ability is there, but is not eligible. Why? Because the samskaras are not being performed. He has to wait till his samskaras are being performed. Only when he go through the samskaras, then he can perform yajna. So similarly, their argument is that somebody is born in a low family, if he chants the holy name, yes, he is purified. But still he has to come back as a Brahmana in his next life and go through the process of being born in a Brahman family, then he can perform yajna. Srila Prabhupada said, no. He quotes Sridhar Swami, the original commentator of Bhagavat. He said, sadhya word has been used. Sadhya means immediately eligible, not like the Brahmana boy. Jiva Goswami says, not like a Brahmana boy, but it is a different. Even though he is not duly initiated as a Brahmana, he can immediately start performing all Vedic sacrifice. Therefore, when two Western devotees came to Vrindavan, and they went to one temple, they were offering prayers, and the pujari said, very nice, you are offering nice prayers, next lifetime you will be born in our family. In the Brahmana family. That is our blessing. So the devotees went and told. They didn't understand. Was it a compliment? Or is it minimizing devotional service? They told Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, you know, this devotee blessed us. That you can become a Brahmana. in their family. And Srila Prabhupada, before giving the answer, he told a story which was quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That there was a lady in a village and her property was stolen by some of her distant relatives. And one British police officer helped her. He was a big police officer. He helped her, and this lady, not knowing what his position was, she could not make any difference between 1 star, 2 star or 3 star. For her, everything was one. And she said, "My dear son, I bless you that in your next life, you become a police." He is already a big police officer. To bless one in such a big position that you become a police is not a blessing, it's not a compliment. So Prabhupada said, similarly, he said, your position is like police officer, and they are blessing you to become a police. In fact, we bless them. You go and tell them that next lifetime you will take birth in ISKCON. So that you can make greater advancement. So Sridhar Goswami explains that not only is qualified in this very life, immediately is eligible to perform all kinds of yajñas. That is the difference. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada brought his Western devotees, when he made them perform yajñas, the smarthas, you know, they could not take it because they cannot understand this principle. And Sridhar Swami says, not only they are qualified to perform yajñas, they become pujaniya. Even if somebody is born in a low family, not only is qualified to perform yajna, he can become a guru and you have to worship him. He becomes pujaniya, he becomes worshipable. That is the power of practicing devotional service. But Prabhupada wants to all of his practicing devotees, those who are Western devotees and those who have the Western mentality. But at the same time, devotee is very alert not to commit the same mistake what he was doing in his previous life or before becoming a devotee. He says very alert not to make the same mistake. If he is not alert, Prabhupada explained, then again he will go back doing the same old habits of eating, mating, defending and sleeping. He said therefore he is alert. And Prabhupada explained that is the special qualification of a practicing devotee. He will never break any regulative principle. He will never fall back into sinful activities. Therefore, if you see when Lord Jesus and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu both instructed Jagai Madai, and Lord Jesus instructed a prostitute, he said, sin no more. And she followed that instruction. And Jagai Madai, Lord Chaitanya also told the same thing. He said, no more sinful activities. Now you are the Vaishnavas. So prarabdha karma haratvam is possible. There no need to be any controversy that no, we'll still have to go through the rigorous prayaschita ceremonies. It is not required. There is no need to consult any astrologer. There is no need to consult any vastu for our life. Not to depend on them. As a practical thing one may do it. But as a dependence, the process of Krishna consciousness, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the best example is Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains of Haridas Thakur. Even though he is born in a Mlecha family, untouchables family, immediately, without even going through the prescribed rules and regulation of accepting a Brahman thread, what did Srila Advaita Acharya do? For the Shraddha ceremony, he called Haridas Thakur as the main recipient of taking Vishnu Prasad. And Haridas Thakur said, what you are doing? He said, there are so many Brahmanas, why don't you invite them? And Advaita Acharya said, feeding you is much better than feeding thousands of Brahmanas. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, to perform this act in Shantipur is not an easy thing. Shantipur was a high seat of smarthas. Now also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, even present day, the residents of Shantipur, the smarthas, they do not appreciate the Vaishnavas. You can imagine what was the condition 500 years back. Advaita Acharya, born in a high class Brahmin family, inviting, that is one thing to give as a charity in a begging. Somebody comes to beg, to give him, okay, you take some rice. But to invite him as the main recipient of the Shraddha Patra, that was great revolution. And Advaita Acharya did not mind. He said, because you are chanting, therefore you are qualified to receive the remnants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is explained. We are just making the point very clear that prarabdha haratvam, you don't need to change the body. You don't need to do any prayaschita. Simply by accepting the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one can overcome the prarabdha karma. And the story of Lord Chaitanya, when he wanted to go to Vrindavan, one Muslim governor, he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. And he came to see Lord Chaitanya. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya, he was a drunkard. He was a cow's meat eater. He was doing all kinds of abominable activities. But simply by darshan, this is also explained, kuta punaste bhagavanu darshanad. What to speak of those who have seen the Lord? Holy name and seeing of the Lord is non-different. So this Muslim governor, when he offered his obeisances, he immediately said, my dear Lord, I am so sinful. I am so fallen that I have to give up my body so that I can associate more with you. And the Mahapatra, the secretary of King Pratap Rudra, seeing that spontaneously, he chanted this verse from the third canto. He said, my dear Lord, one who sees your face, one who takes your name even once, not only is qualified as a devotee, but he can perform all kinds of ritualistic ceremonies. But at the same time, such a devotee is very alert not to go back to his sinful activities. One time, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, when he was a brahmachari, he was discussing with one devotee in their brahmachari ashram. Very important point for everybody, one who is a practicing devotee. He was not proud of what he received. Usually, when we preach Krishna consciousness, we think that we are high because we are practicing devotional service. And therefore we call karmis, rascals, fools, non-devotees. So he was saying that to practice devotion, he quoted this verse of Rupa Goswami, Durjatireva Shavanam Ayogyatve. Because of our low birth, practicing Krishna consciousness is difficult. He said, therefore we have to put double efforts. When we put double efforts, then we can overcome all our distress. That is the humility. So that means being alert not to fall down again back to the sinful activities. Taking extra precautions. Even though chanting one time holy name, we will discuss this further. One time chanting the holy name can eradicate all kinds of sinful activities. This is the prarabdha haratvam, which is being manifested. Chronic disease, legal implications, being born in a low family and not being educated, everything can be destroyed. Instantly Krishna can give all knowledge. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was never educated. But all these shastras, the essence of all the scripture was on the tip of his tongue. He could quote all the shastra. How was that possible? It was possible because he was practicing devotional service. That brahmana from south, he was not educated. But he knew the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore Lord Chaitanya embraced, saying that you know the essence of the scripture, but other brahmanas know the script, but they do not know the essence. This is how prarabdha haratvam. Next. Next, Rupa Goswami explains about unmanifested reaction. Now, prarabdha can be seen and eradicated. But what about unmanifested, which we do not know? How that can be eradicated? Srila Prabhupada explains that this aprarabdha reaction also has two kinds of reaction. aprarabdha
second.
One aprarabdha leads to direct physical or emotional suffering.
And second one is that
it leads to indirect suffering or increased sinful proclivity.
Again, it is very complex. Rupa Goswami very briefly explains, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Kim karmeti, kim akarmeti, kavayapyatra mohita. Tate karma pravakshami yad gyatva mokshase ashubhat. That what is karma, what is bad karma, what is akarma, it is very difficult to understand. Because I am speaking, if you hear from me, you will be freed from all kinds of inauspiciousness. Again, all kinds of klesha will be eradicated. So, unmanifested reaction has got two more reactions.
That is, aprarabdha leads to prarabdha.
And Prabhupada gives the example of a person engaged in activity of illicit relationship. When he engages in illicit relationship, first is there is direct physical and emotional suffering. That is prarabdha. First of all, why it was aprarabdha? Aprarabdha, the desire was there, it manifested, he acted, he performed that sin, and immediately experienced physical and emotional suffering. And second is because he engaged in that act, increased proclivity. Sometimes we see those who are practicing four regulative principles also. When they get involved in certain activity, it doesn't stop once. You keep breaking. You know, we see that sometime amongst the brahmacharis that we make a vow, no more reading newspaper. Huh? And then again, after some time, again you go back and read. Again you stop. In this way, this unmanifested reaction keeps bothering. When you read, there is a direct physical suffering because you have to see so many nasty things. Emotionally also you are disturbed that you allowed so much of prajalpa to go inside. And because you are involved in something which is not favorable to devotional service, then there is indirect, more desire to read. Once you read again, tomorrow also, day after tomorrow also, and then it becomes a habit. Then again you break it. And again you start it, again it becomes a proclivity. In this way, this vicious cycle continues. Similarly, a person engages in illicit activity, directly suffers, aprarabdha becomes prarabdha, and aprarabdha leads to further aprarabdha, increased proclivity. He increases. The desire within our consciousness leads to further desires. Means unmanifested karma also lead to further unmanifested karma, which eventually have to take exact direct form in the prarabdha karma. This we are discussing in the fourth canto. We are studying in the temple. Narad Muni explains this. Somebody desires that I want to enjoy. In the mind, the desire is created. And that becomes stock. Aprarabdha karma creates another desire. And then again, that desire again further creates one more desire. In this way, many, many bodies are created eventually because we have to fulfill every desire. On a subtle level, it is not direct also, on a subtle level everything is going on. It is continuously. We may sleep in the night, but the mind is working. 24 hours job for the mind to think many, many things. Therefore Arjuna asks this question, Atakyena prayoktyam papam charati purusha anishchanipi varshnaya baladivana yojita. What is it which is forcing me to perform sinful activities? It is all unmanifested karma, which is stored, which is going on, you know, working on, creating so many more karmas. And that aprarabdha karma causes direct reaction and indirect reaction. Next. Before that. And Rupa Goswami explains that even aprarabdha karma can be eradicated. Prarabdha we saw. We don't need to go to anybody except devotional service. And what about aprarabdha karma? Just like fuel. You don't see fire in the fuel.
But when it is put in the fire, immediately everything is eradicated. Similarly, by the process of devotional service, all our unmanifested karma is burnt to fire in the fire of devotional service. Narad Muni showed this to Murugari. Murugari saw all the animals rushing to him because he had killed so many animals. That reaction was eradicated by practicing devotional service. The unmanifested reaction, which Narad Muni could show him like a trailer. He said, look, what is going to be happening to you? That was destroyed, and also the manifested karma was also destroyed. By what? By practice of devotional service. So again, Rupa Goswami makes it very clear, no contradiction, no confusion, no controversy, that no, we have to suffer. Everything can be eradicated, prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. Next. Again, the vicious cycle continues. Unmanifest reaction, one, as we saw, it leads to manifest reactions. We directly suffer. And second, it becomes sinful inclination much before developing into material desires. Material desires are developed because the background is there. We already gave the example. Somebody, by seeing the sense object, immediately his material desire is developed. Jayadeva Maharaj gave an example. He said, he is a drunkard. He has the independence to drink or not to drink. But when he goes to the place where there is a facility to drink wine, he will grab it. Why? Because the proclivity is there. The tendencies are there. Tendency is kutam. And the tendency, when it is connected with the objects of the senses, develops into desire within the mind. I should have this. Try to understand the difference between kutam and bijam. Example can be given of the Hitler also. The tendencies were there from very beginning to destroy people, to kill people. Why not everybody had their tendencies? Why not by seeing Jews, everyone develop that we want to kill them? Why only Hitler? Because the tendencies were there. And the tendencies became transformed into material desires when he came in contact directly with him, when his senses become developed. And when he had the facilities to kill them, that material desire developed into exact manifestation to kill the Jews, hundreds and thousands. So only when the tendencies are there, it turns into material desires. And material desires turned into manifestation. And mind you, because of this material body, we are creating so many tendencies. And these tendencies may manifest immediately as material desires, or they may remain on the background of the mind, and then eventually develop as a material desires in this very life, or in some other lifetime. We do not know how it will happen. But this is going to happen. And therefore Srila Prabhupada explains, sometimes children, they are called, they are liberated. Mulehi devakarchi phule. Children are considered as flowers of God. Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto, he said, no, it is not true. The tendencies are there, you just give them the chance. When you give them the chance, then they will develop those strong desires to become cruel, to become violent, to become nasty in their behavior. So, every action leads to direct prarabdha karma, unmanifested in the form of kutam, which eventually becomes papam. A kutam turns into bijam, and bijam becomes papam. In this way, this vicious cycle continues for many, many lifetimes. Unless we take to devotional service. And when we take to devotional service, Prabhupada explains all unmanifested karma. Very wonderful. This gives assurance. All unmanifested karma, which are supposed to manifest and we are supposed to suffer, appears in our dream stage. And what we are supposed to suffer in daydream is suffered in the night dream, through the dreams. And then you no more experience the reaction. That is how devotional service works. For some devotees, no reaction comes even in the form of a dream. But for some devotees, it may come in the form of a dream. So what is supposed to suffer in the daytime, he suffers within the dream. Therefore we see sometime in the night, somebody gets up and screams, he's sweating, he's running here and there. What is it? If he's a practicing devotee, if it happens to like that, it happens like that to him, that means what is supposed to suffer in a daytime is suffering in the night time, as he manifested dreams. But again, one has to be very clear that we may create new impressions and see the dreams. That I create something new, I see something new, and that comes in my dream. That should not be taken as I am eradicating my previous unmanifested karma. No, we are creating new one. It is only when you practice devotional service nicely. I asked this question to Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He said, how to overcome nasty dreams? He said, when you practice, you know, follow this. And after doing all of that, only after doing all of that, still if the dream comes, then you should understand that you are suffering what you are supposed to suffer in a daydream. Everything is getting eradicated. But if you don't follow like that, then you are creating more sapnas, the new sapnas, and the stock remains as it is. Of course, by practice of devotional service, eventually everything will be eradicated. And at what stage it happens, we will discuss this further. Next. Material desires. This material desires, put the whole thing. Again, they are very powerful. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains, no charity, no daan, no austerities can overcome our material desires. If somebody does the prayaschitta, the calculative method of karma kanda is very risky and dangerous. If I say, okay, I've done these sinful activities, but this is the prayaschitta. But while performing the prayaschitta, one can perform sinful activities. Simple example, when you take charanamrit as a karma kanda process, if you take it as a devotional process, as a service, that is a different. But you take it as a karma kanda process. In the karma kanda section of the Veda, that is explained, when you take the charanamrita of Vishnu, it destroys all of your sin. Papa haratvam. Akala mrityu. It stops akala mrityu. You do not experience any kind of disease. That is the karma kanda section, calculative. 3 drops of charanamrit. But by chance, the distributor of charanamrit, if it drops 1 drop, when you are holding the charanamrit in your hand, then that leads you to take 7 births as a leper. Just see, more risk is involved when you become calculative while performing karma kanda section. Okay, I'll take 3 drops and I'll be freed from all sinful reaction. But at least one time you're going to drop that charanamrit. And what will happen? You'll become leper for 7 births. Another example can be given. People come to Kumbh Mela. Hundreds and thousands of people come to Kumbh Mela. And usually Kumbh Mela takes place in Prayag or in Nasik, either in the winter season or in the rainy season. And most people have to wait for 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, freezing cold. There is no place, you know, for you to respond to the call of your nature. And when they are actually taking bath, this is proven. One of our devotee doctor, he met the collector of Nasik city. And this collector, he told him, very, you know, fearful. He said, those who take bath, other than the sadhus, the general public, they have the innocency, they have the faith. But unfortunately, because they are not properly explained, while they are taking bath, they respond to the call of nature. They are urinating in the water. And according to the karma kanda section, yes, by taking bath you are purified, but because you are contaminating, So we'll stop here and we'll continue in the next class. Hare Krishna.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda